Chapter 59. May 15th of year 19. Adam. Adam feels cold, even though he's inside his heated pressure suit. Above him, the balloon flaps in the wind, shining yellow due to four lamps arranged in a square. The balloon seems amazingly floppy, but Gronolf reassured them that it will be able to carry all three. The higher they get, and the thinner the atmosphere becomes, the more the balloon will inflate. At some point, according to plan, not below an altitude of 100 kilometers, it will burst. Messenger must arrive before then to pick them up. Marchenko started to explain this complex maneuver yesterday, but Adam did not want to hear about it. Next to him, a cable with the thickness of an arm comes out of a hatch leading into the building. The cable, actually a flexible pipe, moves helium into the balloon. By now, it is only adding enough to compensate for the slight losses, because the thin foil cannot keep 100% of this noble gas inside. Later, this minor leakage will not matter, because they will rise so rapidly.
Eve! Gronolf shouts.
His sister climbs out of the hatch where she has been hiding from the wind and walks over to the alien. Adam sees how Gronolf connects the harness on her back to the balloon. Gronolf looks funny in the suit Adam designed. The material bulges in unexpected places, so that Gronolf seems to have big bumps everywhere. However, the suit will fulfill its function and keep him warm, as Gronolf has confirmed. The temperature will fall from the current minus 70 degrees to minus 160. But Adam designed the heating unit with sufficient capacity. The entire ascent should not take more than 8 to 10 hours. Their oxygen and energy will last 12. Now it is his turn. He stands with his back facing Gronolf. It feels as if the alien were preparing him for his execution. Adam looks at Eve, rubbing her gloved hands.
Everything okay with you?
He asks her via helmet radio.
I am a bit nervous, she says.
Me too. He tugs at the lower part of his suit. Something doesn't fit right. Probably the improvised diaper. As the flight will take at least 8 hours, they have to account for those needs too. They will have to do without food, but they can drink liquids through a straw integrated into their helmets. After shivering earlier, Adam now starts to sweat. He wishes he felt cold again, because the evaporated sweat condenses on the inside of his helmet. Will Gronolf or Marchenko give a farewell speech? He wouldn't put it past them.
Adam, Eve, he hears Gronolf's voice via helmet radio. Ready?
Adam looks around. Gronolf has put the helium pipe back inside the hatch and now stands behind him. The balloon has already started to rise. Due to the cables that the balloon pulled upward, Gronolf and Eve look like a puppeteer's dolls.
Ready,
Adam and Eve say almost simultaneously. Now the strings tug at him. His back is pulled up with surprising force. Adam wiggles his arms and legs until he realizes how useless that is.
Yay,
he hears Eve shout.
Good start.
It is Marchenko's voice.
Yes, it is great, Eve replies.
So, is all Gronolf says.
Adam does not know what to say. His stomach protests against the upward acceleration. He has the feeling his stomach is sunk to his knees. He hopes he won't have to vomit. The idea of having that yucky stuff inside his helmet for the next 8 hours disgusts him. He will have to think of something else, and quickly. Proxima B solves that problem for him. They are slowly rising out of the darkness. In front of him, far away, a light blue oval shines in the blackness. Adam turns around his axis. The oval is the horizon, a circle he can now see. They started at the North Pole, but they are slowly drifting away, it seems. With every passing minute, the horizon brightens a bit. He won't see the sun from this balloon because it shines on the other side of Proxima B forever and ever. The air is turbulent. Now and then something rips at his back and the straps dig into his flesh. In the helmet radio, he hears Eve singing a children's song. It warms his heart. He would like to say something to her, but he can't think of anything. His eyes close at some point. Marchenko's voice in the helmet radio wakes him. You are drifting southward very quickly. The jet stream probably gave you a strong push.
Is that a problem?
Eve asks. No, quite the opposite. It makes it easier for me to pick you up. I cannot reduce the velocity of Messenger at will. The faster you are moving, the better. Marchenko is right.
What they are attempting is no easy maneuver. Adam is glad he did not think too much about it earlier. It is good that Marchenko controls Messenger, as he has lightning-fast reflexes.
How much longer? Asks Adam.
About 2 hours, Marchenko says. Adam feels pressure in his bladder. He won't be able to hold it for 2 hours, so he just relaxes and relieves himself. The diaper absorbs the liquid well. He looks around. The horizon is no longer a circle. They must be at least 10 degrees of latitude from the North Pole. In one direction, he sees only darkness. That's where they came from. In the other one, a blue arc is visible, which is widest in the middle. Somewhere in that direction must be the forest they lived in, and even further south stands the lander module that brought them to this planet. The day after tomorrow will make it 5 months ago. 5 terrible months full of hardship, and most of all, full of mistakes. It seemed to him like 5 years. Of course, he would do everything differently now if he had the chance. Yet he would not want to miss this adventure.
Adam?
Yes, Eve?
In the end, we managed quite well.
True. Eve does not say anything else. Adam hears her softly humming another children's song. He tries to identify the tune, but he can't.
Marchenko's voice sounds worried.
Watch out down there.
What's going on?
Adam asks. You are approaching the upper reaches of a cyclone.
At this altitude?
Don't forget the greater gravity. The atmosphere is structured differently from that of Earth.
Can we evade it?
Not a chance. Just stay calm, though, as the storm shouldn't be dangerous.
Adam quickly notices the air movement.
He is spinning around to his left, as if sitting on a swing carousel like he remembers from a video. The harness straps holding him to the balloon would be the chains.
Are you also rotating? Eve asks.
So, Gronolf says in affirmation.
I'm trying to enjoy it, Adam says. I'm pretending I'm riding a swing carousel.
I only know about that idea from books and videos.
I don't like to rotate, Eve replies.
She doesn't like to lose control, Adam thinks. Typical for her. But then he notices his own motion is getting faster and faster.
Is the storm increasing? He asks.
No, Marchenko replies.
So why am I turning faster and faster?
Nobody answers. Adam looks around, but cannot see anything.
Oh, your straps have become entangled,
Eve finally says.
Yes, that makes them shorter,
and he spins faster, like a figure skating pulling his arms against his body.
It is getting rather unpleasant, Adam observes.
Just a moment, Gronolf says.
What is he up to?
Adam shines his headlamp at him. The alien is unbuckling one of his own harness straps, and then another and another.
What are you doing? You'll fall without the harness.
I know,
Gronolf says. He is hanging from the balloon by a single strap. Now it becomes clear why he is doing this. He pulls himself up on this strap to reach the spot where Adam's straps have become entangled. The other straps would have hindered him. He undoes one strap after another on Adam's harness, untangles them, and then reattaches them.
So,
he finally says. The rotation has stopped.
Thank you, Gronolf.
Adam is shivering. You are lucky, Marchenko reports from Messenger. You have traversed the storm cloud. This is Marchenko. It's time. Adam looks for Eve and Gronolf. The alien will blast off the balloon at the decisive moment. Then they will fly in freefall. I am starting the countdown for Gronolf, Marchenko says. He starts counting down. 3, 2, 1, go. Adam sees a flash in his field of vision. At the same time, something jerks his harness. They are still connected to each other, but the balloon escapes upward. Adam looks after it, but 10 seconds later, the balloon has disappeared.
Are we already falling? Eve asks.
Free fall, Marchenko confirms.
So they are falling.
If Adam didn't know it, he would not notice. If Marchenko leaves them in the lurch now, they will burn up like meteorites. They have no parachutes to slow them down.
Intercept maneuver in 15, Marchenko says calmly.
He starts counting down again. When he reaches zero, Adam feels a strong tug on his left side. That must be the net.
Are we inside?
Yes, Adam, it worked. I am now accelerating you. Congratulations, shouts Eve.
Messenger chose its orbit, so it would be as slow as possible during this encounter. Yet that is not nearly slow enough for them to simply step on board. Therefore, Marchenko placed an extremely sturdy net of carbon nanotubes behind them, which he now slowly accelerates, together with his catch. The acceleration, which must be almost twice Earth's gravity, pushes Adam strongly against the net. He knows that Marchenko has calculated and simulated every detail. The net is supposed to be sturdy enough to hold him, but what if it isn't? He cannot completely suppress this thought. If he slips through the mesh, the others will see him burn up like a meteorite. He is breathing faster.
Adam, are you all right?
Eve must have noticed something.
Yes, I'm fine.
I'm also scared of the net breaking. The threads are so thin. You remember that spider in the forest? Adam realizes Eve wants to distract him, and it is already working. He remembers how he fell into that pit out of sheer stupidity. Eve had actually warned him. He laughs.
I was pretty stupid then.
Sometimes, Eve says.
Adam, Eve, Gronel says.
Adam turns around. The sun is rising in the south. It moves very slowly above the horizon. Its light spreads dramatically across the entire hemisphere, as if somebody were rapidly lighting one candle after the other. They are leaving the dark side.
There! I can see it!
Eve shouts, full of excitement. Adam is just as glad. Messenger has successfully pulled in her catch. Adam yawns. He's had enough for today. Someone is pulling on his harness. The outer hatch is opening. Gronolf wants Eve to go first, but she refuses. Adam also insists on Gronolf entering Messenger first. The chamber is too small for all three of them. They would have never made it this far without Gronolf. 10 minutes later, the two humans have also boarded Messenger. They greet Marchenko's body with a hug. It feels strange for Adam, because he knows that Marchenko is inside the ship computer again. Previously, they only called the robot body Jay. Perhaps they should switch to that again.
Make yourself comfortable, Marchenko says through the loudspeaker. We have a long journey ahead of us.